Doing is what makes you yourself and me myself. I told him that his explanation didn't explain anything. He laughed and scratched his temples. That's the problem with talking, he said. It always makes one confuse the issues. If one starts talking about doing, one always ends up talking about something else. It's better to just act. Take that rock, for instance. To look at it is doing, but to see it is not doing. I had to confess that his words weren't making sense to me. Oh, yes, they do, he exclaimed. But you're convinced that they don't, because that is your doing. That is the way you act towards me and the world. He again pointed to the rock. That rock is a rock because of all the things you know how to do to it, he said. I call that doing. A man of knowledge, for instance, knows that the rock is a rock only because of doing. So if he doesn't want the rock to be a rock, all he has to do is not doing. See what I mean? I didn't understand him at all. He laughed and made another attempt at explaining. The world is the world because you know the doing involved in making it so, he said. If you didn't know its doing, the world would be different. He examined me with curiosity. I stopped writing. I just wanted to listen to him. He went on explaining that without that certain doing, there would be nothing familiar in the surroundings. He leaned over and picked up a small rock between the thumb and index of his left hand and held it in front of my eyes. This is a pebble because you know the doing involved in making it into a pebble, he said. What are you saying? I asked with a feeling of bona fide confusion. Don Juan smiled. He seemed to be trying to hide a mischievous delight. I don't know why you're so confused, he said. Words are your predilection. You should be in heaven. He gave me a mysterious look and raised his brows two or three times. Then he pointed again to the small rock he was holding in front of my eyes. I say that you are making this into a pebble because you know the doing involved in it, he said. Now, in order to stop the world, you must stop doing. He seemed to know that I still hadn't understood and smiled, shaking his head. He then took a twig and pointed to the uneven edge of the pebble. In the case of this little rock, he went on, the first thing which doing does to it is to shrink it to this size. So the proper thing to do, which a warrior does if he wants to stop the world, is to enlarge a little rock or any other thing by not doing. He stood up and placed the pebble on the boulder and then asked me to come closer and examine it. He told me to look at the holes and depressions in the pebble and try to pick out the minute detail in them. He said that if I could pick out the detail, the holes and the depressions would disappear, and I would understand what not doing meant. This damn pebble is going to drive you crazy today, he said. I must have had a look of bewilderment on my face. He looked at me and laughed uproariously. Then he pretended to get angry with the pebble and hit it two or three times with his hat. I urged him to clarify his point. I argued that it was possible for him to explain anything he wanted to if he made an effort. He gave me a sly glance and shook his head as if the situation were hopeless. Sure, I can explain anything, he said, laughing. But could you understand it? I was taken aback by his insinuation. Doing makes you separate the pebble from the larger boulder, he continued. If you want to learn not doing, let's say that you have to join them. He pointed to the small shadow that the pebble cast on the boulder and said that it wasn't a shadow, but a glue which bound them together. He then turned around and walked away, saying that he was coming back to check on me later. I stared at the pebble for a long time. I couldn't focus my attention on the minute detail in the holes and depressions, but the tiny shadow that the pebble cast on the boulder became a most interesting point. Don Juan was right. It was like a glue. It moved and shifted. I had the impression it was being squeezed from underneath the pebble. When Don Juan returned, I related to him what I'd observed about the shadow. "That's a good beginning," he said. "A warrior can tell all kinds of things from the shadows." He then suggested that I should take the pebble and bury it somewhere. "Why?" I asked. "You've been watching it for a long time," he said. "It has something of you now. A warrior always tries to affect the force of doing by changing it into not doing. Doing would be to leave the pebble lying around because it's merely a small rock. Not doing would be to proceed with that pebble as if it were something far beyond a mere rock. In this case, that pebble has soaked in you for a long time, and now it is you. And as such, you can't leave it lying around, but must bury it. If you would have personal power, however, not doing would be to change that pebble into a power object." "Can I do that now?" "Your life isn't tight enough to do that. If you would see, you would know that your heavy concern has changed that pebble into something quite unappealing. Therefore, the best thing you can do is to dig a hole and bury it and let the earth absorb its heaviness." "Is all this true, Don Juan?" "To say yes or no to your question is doing. But since you're learning not doing, I have to tell you that it really doesn't matter whether or not all this is true. It's here that a warrior has a point of advantage over the average man. An average man cares that things are either true or false, but a warrior doesn't. An average man proceeds in a specific way with things that he knows are true, and in a different way with things that he knows are not true. If things are said to be true, he acts and believes in what he does. But if things are said to be untrue, he doesn't care to act, or he doesn't believe in what he does. A warrior, on the other hand, acts in both instances. If things are said to be true, he would act in order to do doing. If things are said to be untrue, he still would act in order to do not doing. See what I mean?" "No. I don't see what you mean at all," I said. Don Juan's statements put me in a belligerent mood. I couldn't make sense of what he was saying. I told him it was gibberish, and he mocked me and said that I didn't even have an impeccable spirit in what I liked to do the most, talking. He actually made fun of my verbal command and found it faulty and inadequate. "If you're going to be all mouth, be a mouth warrior," he said, and roared with laughter. I felt dejected. My ears were buzzing. I experienced an uncomfortable heat in my head. I was actually embarrassed and presumably red in the face. I stood up and went into the chaparral and buried the pebble. "I was teasing you a little bit," Don Juan said when I returned and sat down again. "And yet I know that if you don't talk, you don't understand. Talking is doing for you, but talking's not appropriate. And if you want to know what I mean by not doing, you have to do a simple exercise. Since we're concerned with not doing, it doesn't matter whether you do the exercise now or 10 years from now." He made me lie down and took my right arm and bent it at my elbow. Then he turned my hand until the palm was facing the front. He curved my fingers so my hand looked as if I were holding a doorknob, and then he began to move my arm back and forth with a circular motion that resembled the act of pushing and pulling a lever attached to a wheel. Don Juan said that a warrior executed that movement every time he wanted to push something out of his body, something like a disease or an unwelcoming feeling. The idea was to push and pull an imaginary opposing force until one felt a heavy object, a solid body, stopping the free movements of the hand. In the case of the exercise, not doing consisted in repeating it until one felt the heavy body with the hand, in spite of the fact that one could never believe it was possible to feel it. I began moving my arm, and in a short while, my hand became ice cold. I had begun to feel a sort of mushiness around my hand. It was as if I were paddling through some heavy, viscous liquid matter. Don Juan made a sudden movement and grabbed my arm to stop the motion. My whole body shivered, as though stirred by some unseen force. He scrutinized me as I sat up, and then walked around me before he sat back down on the place where he'd been. "You've done enough," he said. "You may do this exercise some other time, when you have more personal power."
"Did I do something wrong?"
"No. Not doing is only for very strong warriors, and you don't have the power to deal with it yet. Now you'll only trap horrendous things with your hand, so do it little by little, until your hand doesn't get cold anymore. Whenever your hand remains warm, you can actually feel the lines of the world with it." He paused, as if to give me time to ask about the lines. But before I had a chance to, he started explaining that there were infinite numbers of lines that joined us to things. He said that the exercise of not doing that he had just described would help anyone to feel a line that came out from the moving hand, a line that one could place or cast wherever one wanted to. Don Juan said that this was only an exercise because the lines formed by the hand weren't durable enough to be of real value in a practical situation. "A man of knowledge uses other parts of his body to produce durable lines," he said.
"What parts of the body, Don Juan?"
"The most durable lines that a man of knowledge produces come from the middle of the body," he said. "But he can also make them with his eyes."
"Are they real lines?"
"Surely."
"Can you see them and touch them?"
"Let's say that you can feel them. The most difficult part about the warrior's way is to realize that the world is a feeling. When one is not doing, one is feeling the world, and one feels the world through its lines."
He paused and examined me with curiosity. He raised his brows and opened his eyes, and then blinked. The effect was like the eyes of a bird blinking. Almost immediately, I felt a sensation of discomfort and queasiness. It was actually as if something was applying pressure to my stomach.
"See what I mean?" Don Juan asked, and moved his eyes away.
I mentioned that I felt nauseated, and he replied in a matter-of-fact tone that he knew it, and that he was trying to make me feel the lines of the world with his eyes. I couldn't accept the claim that he himself was making me feel that way. I voiced my doubts. I could hardly conceive the idea that he was causing my feeling of nausea, since he hadn't, in any physical way, impinged on me.
"Not doing is very simple, but very difficult," he said. "It's not a matter of understanding, but of mastering it. Seeing, of course, is the final accomplishment of a man of knowledge, and seeing is attained only when one stopped the world through the technique of not doing."
I smiled involuntarily. I hadn't understood what he meant.
"When one does something with people," he said, "the concern should be only with presenting the case to their bodies. That's what I've been doing with you so far, letting your body know."